In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You can hear me okay in back?
Yes.
It's not too loud? Okay. Brothers and sisters, it's a real joy to be here. I can't believe it, but it's for the first time on a Sunday, and it's your feast day, so it's a double joy for me. And I wanted to share a few reflections on the feast, on the Theotokos this morning. You know, we celebrate everything that has to do with the life of the Theotokos because we have an affinity and an interest in her. We feel her presence. She is the mother of all Christians. Without the Theotokos, there is no Christ. That's not simply something that happened at the incarnation. It's something that is true perpetually at every liturgy, in fact. The body of Christ never appears without the permission of his mother, and she is inseparable from her son, and she loves us. She cares for us, she guides us, she encourages us, she heals us. And that's why we have her icon everywhere in our home, in our churches, everywhere we go. We Orthodox put out an icon of the Virgin Theotokos. She is our invincible and immeasurable repository of divine strength. Do we need an unsurpassed resistance to anything in the world that is ugly, dark, untrue, or corrupt? That is the Theotokos. She is our wall against all these things, and she is undefeatable. We are interested in every aspect of her life, as she is interested, brothers and sisters, in every aspect of our life, and that is the honest truth. That would be another sermon, but we see it clearly at Cana of Galilee. No one asked her to do anything. She did it on her own. No one knew she did it. And she would not take no for an answer from her very own son when it came to helping somebody who was simply embarrassed. That's the type of woman she is. And so we have an interest in her life as she has an interest in ours, and so did the earliest church. Because our source for all the feast days that we celebrate about the Theotokos comes from a book called the Protoevangelion of James, written by tradition by James, the brother of the Lord, and it was widely quoted by the end of the second century. So it's almost simultaneous with the New Testament. The Gospel of Luke and the Protoevangelion of James shows us that the earliest Christian community had this deep devotion and interest in the Virgin Mary, the mother of Jesus, who was always with him. Now, in this book, we learn some details of the circumstances of how she was born. We learn that her parents were Joachim and Anna. Her father was not a priest. He was from the tribe of Judah. He was a very wealthy man. But her mother, Anna, was the daughter of a priest whose name was Mathan from the tribe of Levi. The name Joachim means restoration. The name Anna, very popular name even today, means presence of holiness, or what we would call grace. Grace is the presence of holiness. So Joachim and Anna, the restoration of grace. And this couple, this devout couple, were married at the age of 20, and they lived for 50 years with no children. And they made up for it with a great amount of compassion upon others. So we learn in the Protoevangelion that it was Joachim's practice that when he came to the temple for the feasts, he would not only offer for his family, he would offer for a multitude of poor families that could not afford the offering. They could not afford to bring a lamb. He would buy them all lambs so that they could participate in the feast. In other words, this was a man with a big heart. And he even says this explicitly, "I do this for the people that I may find mercy from the Lord." That's a quote. We have to understand the culture of the biblical peoples of that era. Joachim and Anna were a devout couple without children. And this was a culture of life and hope. Every child was a miracle. Every child was a celebration. Every child was a new beginning, not just for that family, not just for the parents, but for the entire nation. Because you never knew what God would bless your child to become. And we see that story time and time again in the Bible. God chooses the most seemingly unqualified people. I'll give you just one example. As his spokesman to the whole people, he chose Moses. Moses, we are told, stuttered. He no, you're my spokesman. I can't. You are my spokesman. God chooses, and we never know who he's going to choose. And so every child was a hope. After all these years, 50 years of marriage in his deep old age, Joachim was publicly humiliated by a priest whose name was Reuben, and he refused to accept his gifts. Joachim was so devastated by this that he would not go home. Instead, he went out to the shepherds in the desert, and he stayed there for 40 days. And he said this, "I will not go down for food or drink until the Lord my God will look upon me with mercy, and until then my prayer shall be my food and drink." When Anna heard about this, she too would not go home until they both had a vision of angels. They returned to Jerusalem and they met at the beautiful gate to tell of their vision. After that, Anna became with child. Joachim, of course, wanted a boy. This is in the life. But then he said this, "If I beget either male or female, I will bring it as a gift to the Lord. And that child shall minister to him in holy things all the days of its life." And indeed, he had a young girl, Mary. Those are the circumstances, brothers and sisters, that surrounded the natural and miraculous birth of the Mother of God. Because she was born just like all of us, with a mother and a father. But we can learn a few things from her parents. These were devout people that had a strong and serious prayer life. And it was combined with a lot of compassion for others. And we should take note, whether we have children or not, but especially if we have children, our children watch how we pray. We might not always feel like praying. We have to be solid in our prayer life, devoted to our prayer rules. That's our divine liturgy every day. Do we pray before we eat, before we drive? Brothers and sisters, there are times we have to kneel. We have to pull down the Holy Spirit in this way. And that's what I believe Joachim and Anna did. A second lesson we might learn from them is that after all of that devotion and after all of those good deeds, they were unappreciated by the clergy. That hurt them. But they had a capacity for victoriously suffering. And every Christian needs that in many circumstances in life. We can't avoid suffering. Sometimes we think, "What am I doing wrong? I'm suffering." You're not doing anything wrong. Welcome to human life. Sometimes out of these sufferings, which in themselves have no sensible reason, we can't figure them out, even in those sufferings, if we suffer victoriously, keeping our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus, firmly fixed on God, as Joachim and Anna did. God answers prayers, and he gives us graces and experiences and an inner strength that otherwise we might not have had. And their response to God's grace was devotion. And their devotion led them to dedicate this young girl, their insurance of old age. This girl will take care of us. No, we're giving her to God. Their response was to give everything back to God, to his glory. And as we say, the rest is history. She went on and did great things. Brothers and sisters, in conclusion, whether we have children or not, everything we do should be devoted and fixed on God. And if we do have children, and we want the best for our children, we want better opportunities than we had. We want more success, more security, better relationships, everything. We want everything the best for our children, and that's a beautiful thing. But we should want one more thing, and we learn this from Joachim and Anna. We need to dedicate our children to God and ask him to put his hand upon them and help form their life, their worldview, their prayer, their identity as Christians. And then in a simple way, God will use them and they too will go on and do great things. What a beautiful feast. And it's a beautiful thing it fell on a Sunday so I could be here too. Most Holy Theotokos, save us. Amen. Help us, save us, have mercy on us, and keep us, O God, by thy grace. Wisdom, that being guarded always by thy might, we may ascribe glory unto thee, to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto the ages of ages.
Amen. Now the desires and pleasures of the flesh is worthy your approach, our God, and honor to serve thee, O King of glory, for to serve thee is a great and awesome thing, even ours is everlasting, and the people of God is love towards mankind. Thou hast become a man, and without any change, all operations, master of all, has taken the name of our high priest, and delivered unto us.